Hi, my name is Lilia, and I will be speaking today on autism spectrum disorder. I'm going to start with a definition of autism for those of you who aren't very familiar with the condition. The CDC definition is a developmental disorder caused by differences in the brain. Remember that the definition of autism varies from person to person, and it can even change throughout a diagnosed individual's lifetime or throughout their day. Autism is also autism is also a spectrum, which is not the same as a continuum. If you hear people talking about someone being high or low on the autism spectrum, they are not understanding what a spectrum is, because a spectrum doesn't have a high or low end. If you've seen a recording booth on TV with dozens of sliders, that's more what a spectrum is. Each slider represents a different trait, characteristic, or behavior. Each slider can be at a different point for each person, and they don't move all together. A person could be very high needs on one slider or very low needs on another. Some sliders might change position over the course of a person's life or even over the course of a day. Here are some quick autism facts. Autism is 4 times more likely to occur in males than in females. Although, as stated at the bottom of the slide, females are often misdiagnosed or diagnosed very late. The reason girls and women are especially underdiagnosed is because they're socialized to follow scripts in everyday interactions, more so than boys. When boys are impolite or don't respond in adult conversations, people laugh it off, whereas girls will often be corrected by their parents. I was diagnosed at age 11, while the average diagnosis age is age 5. The term autism spectrum disorder wasn't even official until 2013, and it had gone by many names before that, including Kanner syndrome. Recently, a lot of studies have come out showing that autism can be genetic. About 5 to 14% of people who took the chromosomal microarray test after being diagnosed were found to have a genetic reason for their autism. Diagnosed individuals are very creative and often participate in theater, visual arts, and dance. Females with autism are usually level 1, which means they mask better, which is another reason they aren't identified with autism until later in life. I will talk more about masking later. It is also much harder for Black, Asian, and minority ethnic groups to be diagnosed for many reasons, including lack of access to testing. My last fact is that children and sometimes adults with autism have lower bone density than normally developing or developed neurotypical peers. So on the screen here, we have a lot of symbols for autism. The first one is the primary color piece. Unfortunately, this was propagated by Autism Speaks, which is an organization not made up of autistic people, and often uses fear tactics to tell parents of children with autism that it will ruin their lives. The board is also completely neurotypical. The puzzle piece is now associated as being a hate symbol with most of the autistic community. But on the other side of our screen, we have some other symbols, which are alternative symbols. The rainbow infinity represents the spectrum and the infinite combinations of autistic traits. The gold symbol was also used because they were worried about the rainbow being overlapping with the LGBTQ community, and so they decided to use gold instead. Some people do, but some people who are on the LGBTQ community and who are autistic like the rainbow better. Another thing that Autism Speaks sort of propagated was person-first language, or saying that a person with autism. So for example, if I said, I have autism, or I'm a person with autism, that would be person first language. Autism Speaks thought they were being kind by distancing the person from their autism, keeping their personhood. It is not dehumanizing for most of the autistic community. We don't feel that way, so we instead use identity-first language, for example, autistic woman. On the next few slides, I'm going to talk about the effects of autism and how autism can be presented in different people. Some of the ways autism has affected me are shown on this slide. I often have a lot of anxiety, communication difficulties, and I can be very oversensitive to sounds and light at times. Also, touch, so I actually had to move my microphone down here because it was bothering me on my back. Referring back to the sliders, there are days where I am more sensitive to light than others, and it can even change throughout the same day. I also have a lot of focused hobbies, as many of you have heard about, such as Girl Scouts, summer camp, and designing my own mystery parties, just to name a few. The symptoms of autism are different for every diagnosed individual, but there are some umbrella terms, like the ones on the screen, that can be used to, for almost everyone. Often, autistic individuals will struggle a lot at school. Even children and adults diagnosed with level 1 autism, which is a level of autism where the individual functions more similarly to a neurotypical person, there are still things that may be more difficult to handle. For example, private schools are not required to provide special education or give out IEPs or 504 plans to students. Cotter in Winona cuts off their special education program at 8th grade, and even then their program will not meet the needs of the average autistic individual. This was a struggle for my family when I went to Cotter, because eventually they began refusing us accommodations. When I began school at Riverway last year, they were great about accommodating many students' needs. Now the construction at our new building is complete, we have 2 resource rooms for students with IEPs or 504s, and each of them are the size of a regular classroom. 1 in 36 8-year-old children were estimated to have autism in 2020 by the CDC. That's about 7 kids per graduating class at Winona Senior High School, assuming that the graduating class size is about 250 students. If anyone is comfortable sharing, I would like you to raise your hand if you are neurodivergent. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 in this room only. That's not even 250 people. There we go. As an individual diagnosed with level 1 autism, I behave a bit differently than what most people believe is the behavior of an autistic individual. For example, I am very intelligent, and even though I started speaking late, my vocabulary quickly grew. By age 2, I was giving presidential nomination speeches to my dad's college classes. It was 2008, just for reference. Also, I was very easily distracted. When I went to Bluffview Montessori, I was often found pouring water between measuring cups or trying to learn new materials that I hadn't been taught yet, instead of doing the work I was assigned. This brings me to another part of autism, which is actually a separate diagnosis in some countries, called pathological demand avoidance, or PDA. PDA is a condition often associated with autism and is characterized by an overwhelming need to avoid tasks or demands, which often leads to sensory overload. Usually, the task must have originated from someone other than the person with PDA. For example, if my mom were to ask me to do a task, it would be way more difficult for me to do it than if I told myself to do the same task. Also, if I were to start a project on my own time because it was interesting to me, I could do it, but if someone else were to ask me to start the same project, I would not be able to. Over the years, this has gotten easier for me, and I can complete most tasks that others ask me to do, but it is still sometimes a struggle. Another part of autism is masking. Masking is defined as suppressing one's autistic traits and behavior to appear neurotypical and to make the people around them feel more comfortable. You might guess masking can be difficult. Masking for the comfort of others is something autistic individuals shouldn't have to do, and I hope that someday autistic individuals will not have to mask in public. Some individuals with autism have a much harder time using these masks, usually those with autism level 3 or 4. For those with autism levels 1 and 2, masking can be almost an automatic thing. For me, masking was something I nearly never could control until recently. I would have a good social skills filter on in public and at school, but I couldn't use that filter at home. That's another thing about masking for me. They usually come off in my safe spaces. Within the past year, I've developed more skills to help me control my masks. Masking drains your energy, both physically, emotionally, and socially, so it's helpful to be able to take my mask off sometimes. This is just my experience with masking, and it is different for everyone, although it's usually easier for those with level 1 autism to mask. I'm going to show you a video that helps you understand what it feels like to have autism. We will first watch this video, and then we will talk about how it feels. No? Let's take time. But in this video, it sort of shows the difference between how a normally neurotypical person would view a high school lunchroom versus someone with autism. So normally for me, this room is probably a bit brighter for you than it would, or for me than it would be for you. Lights are often a big issue, so I have like a lot of sensitivity to light. Noises are often also louder. So when that feedback came through, that was really loud for me. It's loud for everyone. But that's why you often see autistic people covering their ears. That'll help them not be overstimulated with the noises. It also makes it really hard to focus. Focusing in an environment where there's bright lights shining in your face and noises everywhere is probably not easy for anyone. So that's why that was what the video would have shown. I'm going to talk about one more thing before I'm done. Struggling to identify and follow social rules is one of the main identifiers of ASD, and every individual with autism has at least some level of difficulty with it. That's why I put together another simulation that has to show you what upcoming autism can be like. Throughout this whole speech, I have tried my best to follow a social rule. It's a social rule that I made up. That's point number one on understanding autism. Most people with autism are expected to figure out the constantly changing social rules without ever being told what they are, which is what most autistic people need. That's unfair and stupid, you say? I agree. So now that I told you there's a rule, you're probably studying me thinking, what rule? I didn't know there was a rule. That's point number two. Autistic people are often told they're getting X wrong, when they weren't even aware that X was a thing. For example, if it's a social rule to touch a door frame when you enter a building, the autistic individual didn't know that, then they would be told that they got that wrong. But they weren't even aware that touching the door frame when you enter a building was a thing. So I have a question for you all now. Does anyone know what the social rule I made up was? Well, that's perfect, actually. Brings me to point number three. Autism is a spectrum. Some of you maybe have a little idea in your head, and some of you have no idea at all. So what was my social rule, you ask? It's far more straightforward than most social rules. I try my best, but I was touching my pointer fingers together every time I said the word autism. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that kind of gives you a better understanding of what autism is like for some people. And does anyone have any questions?
Does it get diagnosed for autism, or is it usually just kids?
It is everybody, especially females. They're often diagnosed late because of masking and because of their the way they're sort of, in a way, trained to follow social rules more than boys are. So I do know a few from my friends who were diagnosed in adulthood. I was diagnosed at age 11, so that was definitely later than what most people would have been diagnosed at. So yes, adults can be diagnosed with autism. I definitely really love the smaller community, which also helps a lot because there's a way, way more teachers to students then, so a lot of teachers can actually have time to help the individual students with specific things. We also have student-led conferences, so there's a lot of opportunities for me to lead, which I absolutely love. That really helped me at Riverway. For those of you who don't know, I actually led an environmental education class for the E1 students, which is first through third grade. They loved it. I loved it. They gave me this really beautiful card last Friday. And there's been many other opportunities where I've been able to lead, which really helps me because that's one of my main focus and interests. So I really love being able to do that at school and having my interests be able to I actually do them at school. Because in a normal public school, you're not really going to have opportunities for that. Maybe your passion is art, but you're going to have one art class. At Riverway, there's opportunities within each individual class. Even if it's English, there's an opportunity to do art. We recently filmed videos we had to create a modern monster in an old fairy tale. And we had to film it or make a stop motion animation of it. So they really allow students to follow their interests while learning what they need to learn, which has been really helpful for me. I love fidgets. If anyone knows what fidget toys are, they're the best. I always usually have some somewhere around me. At school, there's the resource rooms, which I absolutely love. They have plenty of stuff. I do coloring sometimes. What else? I just any of my hobbies. If I just start doing one of my hobbies, it helps sort of regulate me and get me back to a point where I can function normally again, or normal as I can be. And I envisioning stuff. So if I have a field of flowers in my head, I can just breathe and see as the flowers move back and forth, that's really helpful. So I just found little things that help me. It's gonna be different for everybody. I feel they're my friends who are neurodivergent, they have different ways they get to calm down. So you try everything. Try everything and then figure out what works for you. Those are just some of the ways that I clear to calm down. Also leading kids, I don't know. It's like I don't quite have a mask on at that point. Like I do, but I don't. Because it's doing something that I really, really love. So I feel like I can be a little bit more myself. Not that like I'm choosing to not be myself. It's more like I need to be not myself. As I mentioned earlier, society is really more built for neurotypical people and not neurodivergent people. And it's difficult. This is just me touching my pointer fingers together for when I say the word autism. That was sort of my made-up social rule.
A blood test or something that helped?
Yeah. So you technically can't be diagnosed with the blood test. It's after you're diagnosed, sometimes they will send you for genetic testing so they can figure out if there was a genetic cause for your autism, because autism can have other things associated with it, including medical conditions that like affect your body. Sometimes they'll affect facial features. So the SMI will send you for genetic testing. There's also Fragile X syndrome, which a lot of autistic people have, where your X chromosome is like more fragile, and it often the bigger ears and a larger forehead are like some of like the most common symptoms of that. They like are telltale signs that you might have it. But they also send you for genetic testing just to be safe. Not all individuals with autism will be sent for testing, though. I feel like education is the biggest thing. Being educated on autism helps so much with anyone you're gonna encounter who has autism. And especially like younger kids, they can officially, like the age that they're like okay diagnosing autism for the most part is age 2. You can have like a good solid diagnosis at that age. Younger than that, normally you can't. So with preschoolers, they may have been diagnosed already, I don't know. But it's also, I forgot the question, what's the question again? ADHD. I also have ADHD. Oh, yeah. That's why I started with education. Okay. Some of the ways, I guess me personally, like supporting me, sort of letting me think, figure things out, I didn't really like that. Like, when I was younger, it was like I was really asking for help a lot, especially when I like had shutdowns or meltdowns, which I didn't talk about too much in here. Sort of just when sensory overload gets to be too much. But I feel like just figuring it out on my own really helped. But also like knowing when and what to help with. So that it's sometimes a bit difficult, especially with autistic individuals that maybe are nonverbal or can't communicate very well. It's hard for them to tell everyone else what they're gonna need for help. And even for me, it was kind of difficult to tell my parents what I kind of needed for help. But some of the ways I feel like really would help is just being understanding, trying to figure out. Like, I know my teachers at Bluff, you thought I had, like, was it Edison's trait or something with that? What was it called again?
Called the Edison trait.
Yeah, Edison trait. Mostly because of what I did during class. I wasn't doing my work. I was just focusing on other little things. Yeah, that was basically it. So, like, kind of, like, having teachers identify, like, if once they're educated, they can help identify traits of autism and help them get a diagnosis if they feel like the child has autism or some other, you know, neurological developmental disorder. I feel like that's really helpful, just, like, letting parents know. Another reason my girls are so underdiagnosed is teachers don't really report it for girls and women because they feel like, oh, boys have autism. Because that's sort of, like, the main stereotype. If you think of someone with autism, most people think of a male and not a female. And so that's another reason why teachers often just miss the girls with autism and don't report any of the symptoms to anyone else is because they just don't think they're gonna have it. Yeah, so anyone's noticed me like constantly fidgeting with my hands. Part of that was because I needed to do this all the time for the word autism and I was like trying to hide that a little bit. But then part of it is actually I'm a little nervous. So yeah, it is kind of a superpower sometimes. Especially people with like level 1 autism are often like really intelligent and smart. A lot of like girls often are higher up on like the autism spectrum. So like there's like I shouldn't say higher up. That's my bad. So they'll be like level 1 or 2 for the most part, and that's also associated with like just intelligence and like. Because there are like autistic individuals that have like a severe neurological disability, but then there's also the ones who are like Mensa and like way up there on the IQ scale. So that's kind of one of the superpowers some of us have. Also, I hear noises. Like with the loud noises, I'm hearing things that other people can't hear, and I'll be like, there's something rattling right there. It's really annoying, but sometimes it's actually a real issue that needs to be fixed. So that's been helpful. Little superpowers. Let me think. Yeah, creativity. I have designed a lot of escape rooms, like portable escape rooms. If anyone wants to do one, just let me know. I'll design another one. I also have designed 2 murder mysteries. So there's like a lot of like little fun things. Having a lot of hobbies, because a lot of autistic individuals, especially me, my focuses, like my hobbies, I have so many of them. My room is just crowded with like tons of stuff for little hobbies. But I think that's sort of a superpower, because you can like basically sort of be like know a ton of stuff about a lot of different things. So like I do stop motion animation, and I have the escape rooms and the murder mysteries. I do a lot of Lego building in my spare time. And there's like a lot of other little things that like I'm really good at now because I've had so much practice with a ton of different things. So I would say consider that a superpower as well.